Thank you very much for the invitation. My name is Tayyip Ustan. Also, thank you for the introduction. And I am a political scientist and working in the Ministry of Local Government and Modernization in Oslo and Norway. And my first trip to Warsaw was in 1980, and I was supposed here in 1981 to look at the solidarity movement when I studied as a political scientist. It was very interesting to listen to the first session of this conference, and many of the issues that were raised in the first session is also a discussion about this in Norway. But we had not have such an outside assessment. We had some inside assessment made by our agencies, and we also have some assessment by the Office of the Audit General. Somebody told me that if you're going to have an introduction, you also have to bring some pictures, because the people like to look at pictures. So I have some pictures from Norway, taken this Easter, and when you look at those pictures, you can imagine how important it is to make assessment about the environment when you are doing new regulations. What I'm going to talk about is five issues. I don't think I can go too far from the microphone. First, about something about Norwegian ministries, the system, and something we call the Nordic model, and then the rules and regulations of how lawmaking and other issues are handled, and making you give an example of how we are making a new law in Norway, the process, and then some pros and cons of the system, what's good and what's not so good. In Norway, we have a ministerial system, as many other countries. That means that the government, the cabinet, is not so very strong, but each minister have power to implement and to enforce the rest of the public sector. At the moment, we have a minority government of two parties on the blue side, blue-blue government, we say. Yesterday we changed the government. Before that we had a red-green government. We have 15 ministries and the Prime Minister's office on top of that. And in the Prime Minister's office there are two ministers, so the Prime Minister and one minister that are usually dealing with EU matters. Even if you are not a member of the EU, we are a member of the EEA, European Economic Area. And the cabinet has 18 members, including the Prime Minister. Last year it was 20, so it's going down. And in the ministries altogether, 4,800 people. And what is the Nordic model? Somebody call it the Norwegian model, but I usually call it the Nordic model because the Nordic countries are almost the same coming to this. It is a consensus model. We don't like conflicts in a way. We try to figure out things on beforehand and see if we can find a middle way to do things. We also have a three-party cooperation between the government, the labor unions, and the business sector, what you call the social partners, where the Prime Minister meets and they have discussions, and they also, sometimes the government is also a part of when there are negotiations. But when it comes to the question of participation and transparency, especially on lawmakings, but also on other big issues, we have three, let's say, important instruments. And the first is now. Try to learn this. The governmental appointed committees, I come back to those, and the public hearings. And the public hearings is generally rule is that it should last for 3 months. The rules and regulations in Norway. In Norway, we don't have a casuistic lawmaking. We have general laws, usually. So the laws in Norway are quite short, and much of the power is made by subordinate regulations. That's linked to the law, but usually it's made by the King and Council or by the special ministries. In the Constitution, there is a saying that it's a responsibility for the state or for the public sector or for the government, you could say, that it shall create conditions that can facilitate an open and enlightened public discourse. And the public hearings is one way to do this. Then we have the Public Administration Act. It's for all the public sector, both the state and the municipalities. It's not so very long, but it lays down the main rules of how the issues are going to be handled in the state and how the connection is between the state and the inhabitants or the citizens. Then we have directions on how to handle issues in the cabinet, special directions made by the Prime Minister's office. And then we have something called instructions for official studies and reports. It's for the state sector, and these regulations are made by my ministry, and we look after those regulations. And it's a regulation about how you make the law process and also how you make the process on other big issues, not only the laws. So we have no specific rules of making laws in Norway. We have specific rules on how you are going to handle big issues, and laws are sometimes big issues. Those are the regulations. I'm sorry, they're only in Norwegian, but this booklet is about how to handle issues in the government or in the cabinet, as we say, and this is the regulation of how you handle issues in the state sector. I'll try to give you an example of how we are making a new law in a way, or amending a law. But this process is written in the regulation. It's not written in a law. And we are, in a way, a practical people, practical country. So we don't always follow this on all issues, but on some issues, and especially the big issues. So we don't believe in regulating everything. So what I'm talking about, most of this is good practice in a way. Let's say that one of the ministers want to make a new law or want to make an amendment of the law, and then they start the process with a government memo sometimes. They discuss with the government, should we make a new law on this issue or should we make an amendment? And when I say government, we means the cabinet, the ministers. And if they agree, if it's a big issue, the cabinet or the ministry themselves, they appoint an official committee. And this committee is made up by experts and interest groups. And this committee then works for about 1 year. And they sometimes have consultations when they work. Sometimes they would use more than a work, and they ask the minister, can we have 2, 3 months more because it's a lot of work? And then sometimes we say, yes, you can have some more time, or could you please give us one report now and maybe another report later, and so on. So it's not regulated detail. And after this committee has worked, the committee submit their report to the ministry. And then maybe the minister think it's okay, maybe we could go further, or maybe it's some problems here. Maybe we should discuss the issues in the cabinet once more. Depends on the report. Let's look more about those committees, because I think those committees are an interesting way to dealing with the issues. As such, a committee is an advisory body to the government. They don't have the force, they don't have the mandate to make and implement the law. They are only an advisory group to the government. And they will have a mandate from the ministry or from the government. You can work on this. But sometimes they work on other issues as well. They say, oh, this mandate was too narrow. We want to address some other issues. And that's okay, as long as they always address what stands in the mandate. They usually get a fixed time, as I told you, about 1 year. But sometimes they ask for more. They are independent. That means that they cannot be instructed by the government. They should not be instructed what they're going to mean, because then the government would give advice to themselves. And that makes no sense. But it has happened. It has happened that sometimes you have some people working in the ministries within those committees, and they have a problem. Because shall they then advise what they think the government means, or are they under pressure, or shall they say what they would like to do as the best thing to do? So we don't like people from the ministry within the committee, but they could be in the secretariat. That could be a good solution. And then we come to the members, and that's a hard way to... That's often difficult. Sometimes there are 5 people, sometimes 10. It depends on the issue and depends on how difficult it is to, let's say, construct such a committee. Affected parties are often members. Other stakeholders that are not so much affected could be, and experts that know something about the issue but will not be a stakeholder and not have any interest in the issue. Sometimes we use academics or professors because we think they are, in a way, independent. When they work, they also must say something about the consequences. And as we heard in the first part of today, there are lots of consequences, both economic consequences and administrative consequences, as we say it. And administrative consequences is about how it affects people, how it affects the environment, how it affects gender equality, how it affects the municipality sector, and so on. We also see that some of the people who are working on the issues are quite narrow. When we think about economic issues, we don't mean only the result on the state budget, also mean the result in the society. What does it mean for the people? Will the people get more or less money, and so on? So there we need to broaden the perspective. Each committee gets their own secretariat. Am I speaking too fast? No? Good. Each ministry get their own secretariat and their own budget. And they give the report back to the minister. There is a ceremony, and the head of the committee comes to the minister and gives the report and says, thank you very much. I deal with this as good as I can. So this is the first part of the process. Now it has gone maybe 1 year, 1.5. This is an example of such a report. I took this because this is translated into English. MOX for Norway, it's called. New Digital Learning Methods. So MOX is electronic learning on internet. And the acronym is Massive Open Online Courses. Difficult. Anyway, here you can see there's a page in the beginning of the report who says, this is the chair, this is the members of the committee, and this is the secretariat. And then the report is put on the internet. Now is the second part of the process starting. The ministry could send the report on a public consultation, a public hearing. The general rule is that the public hearing should be 3 months. Maybe longer, maybe less, but not shorter than 6 weeks. If it's shorter than 6 weeks, the minister must come in the issue and write and say, oh, I'm sorry, it's quite a short time, but the reason for this is this and that. So it's a higher threshold to have a short hearing. But not all the ministry follow those rules, so there are some complaints, especially from the social partners, as we heard today, those organizations who have a democratic system. They also have a board that shall make a discussion about the issue, and they say, oh, we can't have a shorter than 6 weeks. It's a problem for us. So there are some complaints. We are also trying to work on this issue. Sometimes when they send the report on the hearing, the ministry say, you can say what you want about this, but we want you to look at this question and that question. At least we would like your opinion on that. But you must not be too restrict, because those who are the hearings or those institutions or persons who are being heard, they can report back on what they want. After the responses has come in, we make a draft law based on the report and the consultation process. And if the draft law, for example, changes very much, or the issue changes very much, there must be a new hearing, a second hearing. And then there's a government memo again. There is made a draft report to the Storting. And this is not open. This is only circulated between the ministries. And then it goes to the parliament, to the Storting, it's called in Norway. And then the Storting starts their own process. They could also have public hearings. And they can also make extra reports on the assessment of the report. They have their own experts in the Storting who can make reports on this. Let's talk a little bit more about the public consultation, what we call hearings in Norway. All documents due to the public consultation are public. That is including the answers that come in. And all the issues and documents are published on the ministry's website. That is the ministry's public hearings. It is some other up to the agencies. If they have hearings, they have their own solutions. But all the ministries have a common solution. And I can say that there are about 240 hearings per year in the ministries. And there come between 12,000 and 24,000 answers every year to those consultations. And it's quite a lot of work to work with those answers, because they are only on flat files. So when the answers come in, we put the answers on the internet. So those who are early in the process, they get their answers on the internet in the beginning, and those who would like to give reports later, they can read what the other organization means on this issue before they give their answer. And the website include information about the length of the consultation, how many months. As I said, 3 months is the general rule. And what is the current status of the issue? And on the Chemnitz website, you can find all those issues. No, I should try to get into the Chemnitz website here, but I'm not sure how I do this. I should have a mouse here. Could you please? Afterwards, yeah. Here you find the issues on the internet, and I try to. If I could, could you help me once more? I work in the ICT ministry, but I'm not so very good in ICT. This one. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And this list is very long. Here you can look at the issues. Here is the name of the issue. Here is the ministry who put the issue on hearing. Here is the date they were sent out. And here is when the answer should be. And here is the number of the days. 91 days, 84 days, 60 days, 122 days, 62 days, and so on. And here is the theme. Here is about taxes. Here is about kindergarten. Here is about air transport and so on. Sometimes we have the issue here, broad issue. And here's the status. This is still on hearing. And this is the result if there is made a report to the Storting, for example. From the ministry, about 240. And the answers is, and if you now go into one issue here, you can, then you will see the letter that is made. Then you will find the document that is sent on hearing. And then you will find a list of who is invited. That's a problem. And then you find a list of all the answers that come in. So in one issue, you could have 10 answers or you could have 200 answers. But I have some remarks on the hearing list, as we call it, the invitation, because the invitation is both positive and negative. It shows who is invited to give a hearing, but it also can be an exclusive list because the other persons and CSO can think that are not invited and they can't give answers. But everybody can give answers to the hearing. So in theory, we could have 4.5 million answers from more than Norwegians. So I have had telephones from organizations that say, we see a hearing on the list on the internet. Can we give an answer? Yes, you can give an answer, I say. Could you please put me on the list? Can you send me an invitation letter? Well, you don't need that. You can just give an answer. So there is some cultural thing here. So we are thinking about maybe those lists, maybe we should stop with those lists and make the hearing general and not make the list because the list is both positive and negative. No, I try to escape, not from the conference, but from the website. Thank you. At the moment we are working on it, you saw that those lists, they were not so very beautiful to look at, and they are quite static. There come letters in, then they were put on the internet. So we are trying to make a new system at the moment that is interactive, that the people and the CSO who are making hearings can make it electronically, and they can work on it as long as they want, and then they can push the button, and then it's public on the website. And they can also look how many hearings have they joined the last years and so on. So we are trying to make this system better. Pros and cons. The government-appointed committees, it's a high degree of influence to those who are attending, but it's quite narrow. There are few participants, and those who are not inside such a committee could think that they are not getting the same influence as the others. When it comes to the public consultation, there are many participants. It's quite broad. But it is late in the process, and it's hard to break through, but it is possible. Sometimes we are changing the draft laws, but it's harder to break through in the public consultation. But when you are in a committee, then you have quite a high influence. And we see that those committees who make one proposal, they can get very far with a proposal. If they are divided with some minorities and a majority and so, it's not so easy. But public consultation, it takes time, but it makes the implementation phase more easy. We say that making a new law could take 2 years, maybe 3 years. But when you come to the implementation, because you have that consensus model, it's more easy to implement it, because many of the stakeholders has been there all the time. Thank you very much for the attention.
Dziękujemy bardzo za wystąpienie. Jak Państwo mają jakieś pytania czy komentarze, to bardzo proszę je zapamiętać, tudzież zapisać. Będzie sesja pytań i odpowiedzi po drugim naszym wystąpieniu.